to Teen Tech Talk. I'm Jeff DeLowey. I'm joined here by, as always, Dale and Corey. And we have a new host. We have Robert from Virginia.
Hello.
And so we're moving right ahead, moving right along. We're going to go right back and talk about the last podcast. I'm sorry for anyone who's listening to it on an iPod. And I'm sorry for any hearing loss, because the audio problems are really bad. I sounded really soft. Dale was really loud. Corey was in the middle. So I apologize for that. And I hope you keep listening. And we have it all figured out. We did mic checks. And so we're good with that.
Yeah, and, we're all going to sue you because we lost our hearing.
Yeah, right. The first thing we're going to talk about is some user feedback, listener feedback. Last week we talked about voice over IP, different programs. We use Skype right now. But one listener, Oliver, who has his own podcast, he's from, I believe, France. He has a Carte Postale podcast over at cpd.galeota.com. And he does a great podcast. I was listening to it. He travels around Europe and he goes from different places, and it's a really fun and interesting podcast. And what he commented on, he said that he welcomed us back to coming back to the show. You can see something in the he commented on the one on the last post, and he says that one of the good programs for voice on Linux is GNOME Meeting, and also it's also in testing with it's on other platforms as well. And it's at GNOME Meeting .com, and he says that it's a really good and a good program, so maybe we can try it out. There's a Windows version. I don't know about a Mac version, but he said it supports a whole bunch of systems, that protocols which Skype and Gizmo use, and a whole bunch of other things. So maybe we'll try that. But go check out Oliver's podcast at cpd.galota.com, and I'll put the thing in the show notes, the link. And also, this week we were added to the Teen Podcasters Network at teenpodcasters.com. You can find the link on the badges, on the images on the side for our links on our teentechtalk.com. And but Mike, who started the Teen Podcasters Network, he has his own podcast called CommonerCast. And right now I'm going to play a clip, just a little promo to promote his podcast. So here we go.
Me, Michael, an ordinary teenager expressing his views in audio format. I speak about issues in the world and what's on my mind. I'm the proud founder of the Teen Podcasters Network. If you're interested in hearing the teen view, head on over to commonercast.tk. Don't miss out.
So we think, Mike, for putting us on the Teen Podcaster Network, and so I really encourage you to go check it out, his podcast at commonercast.tk, and also the Teen Podcaster Network, that which we're on. And so moving now into news stories, does anyone have any news stories they want to talk about?
Well, I guess I'll go ahead. This is sort of up-to-the-minute news and exclusive. GoDaddy currently has $1.99 domains. I do believe I saw that it expires on the 30th of September, but go check it out and get some good domains.
What kind of domains are they? .coms?
Or? I did not see that part. If you go to GoDaddy.com, it's a tab or thingy up at the top that says, you know, $1.99 domains, limited time now. I don't think I saw which ones it excludes. I'm actually clicking it right now. But
yeah,
I think
too.
Yahoo did that a couple weeks back or something.
Yeah, they had around that price.
Yeah, because I had just missed it, and I purchased my domain cholt.net for, like, you know, regular price.
Well, trust me, $8.99 is a really good deal. Like, before, the only two big names that you could buy from were Registrar.com and Network Solutions, and they would go for $60, $70 for one domain, and they still do it. And before, just a few months ago, like I think March, GoDaddy surpassed Network Solution in domain name that was registered with them. And Network Solutions has been around for a long time.
The GoDaddy deal, you have to buy a non-domain product to get the $1.99 domain deal.
Oh, so that means you have to get the mail or their hosting solution?
Yeah, it says products must be new to the customer, not currently owned. To qualify, 1 year, $1.99.com, .us, .biz, .info, .name, .net, or .org domains.
So there are strings attached.
Each qualifying product, which includes like transfer, renewal, or I think. Something like that, yeah. So it's definitely got some strings attached.
Yeah.
But I mean, hey, $1.99 domain is still $1.99 domain.
Yeah,
if you have to register a new account to get it, then whatever.
Yeah, if you want to get a new site and you need hosting or email, so it is a good deal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know what the other prices are for the other things, but GoDaddy's a good site. Mm-hmm. That's why I use for my domains, and I have a bunch of domains that I've bought through them now. I don't know, maybe 8? I don't know, a lot.
Jeez.
So. Yeah, how many would you have for the new site alone?
For what? Oh, there's, I don't know, there's, I just bought, what, I bought nerdclass.com, nerdclass.net, nclassgames.com, teentechtalk.com. I also own nhpawprints.com, what else? And
Fantasign?
Fantasign.com, yeah, and that's, and maybe some others in the future. But yeah, for $8, you know, it's not much.
Yeah, that's not too bad.
You're like the key maker for domain names.
Yeah, right. All right. Moving along, one thing that caught my eye was the new Canon HDV high-definition XL H1 camcorder they just released today, or today or yesterday. And this is their first HDV camcorder for, you know, consumers. Other ones they have are, you know, for professional ones. And this one is going for $9,000, and it has a 20 times zoom lens, and also it records in 1080i, not 720p. It'd be nice if you could do a 720p for $9,000, but it doesn't do that. But the good thing that it does do, it uses three CCDs and the new Digic DV2 processor, so the image must be really good because Canon makes really good cameras, and this is I think this will be a popular camera for them for their prosumers. And, you know, I have the HDV HC1, which I just posted new videos on the site of a few clips I took over the summer. And you can check those out. It's an amazing camera, and you'll see more content coming out of that camera when, hopefully, by the end of this week, there might be a Teen Tech Talk TV edition. Not, it'll just be on informational stuff, like tutorials and stuff. So, and also Corey has his GeekSpeak TV, which yes. I'm waiting for. You know, I keep checking it, but I don't see anything.
Yeah, something happened with the first episode.
What?
I said definitely curious to see that.
No, Corey, what did you say?
I said that I had some problems with it, and it lost, I guess, the codec or something.
Oh.
So it won't let me upload it to, like, the archive.org media or any of the other places that do video. And I really don't have the 150 megabytes because I'm running off of a free website. So if anybody out there wants to donate 150 megabytes to show that episode, if I still have it.
Oh, Corey, I'll be glad to host it on my server.
Okay. Well, if I can find it.
If you can get it, I'd gladly put it on my server and you can link to it.
Okay. Yeah. This will be just for Windows users because I figured out that if you double-click it or do right-click, open with, and then Windows Media Player, it says that it's not a recognized file, but it will let you play it anyway, and then it'll play it. So
why don't you use something like Dr. DivX to transcode it?
Because it's not a registered file type or something when I did it. It's really weird.
Well, normally, what kind of camera is it? A Canon?
No, it was already in like AVI format, and I turned it into a Windows Media file, and I was going to start converting it. But then when I formatted my computer and backed up stuff, when I was sending it over the network, it came back as a file, like just a file or something.
All right.
With
the
little batch programming icon on the desktop.
Well, there's probably ways you can fix that, but we'll...
If I can find it, yeah. I might have deleted it.
Well, if you can, I'll host it, but moving right along. Anyone else have some new stories, or should I go on to the next one?
I would like to say... Oh, well, go ahead. Who wants to go? I don't care.
Here, Robert, go.
Yeah, all right. Go ahead.
Apparently, Hummer has introduced a new laptop, which, yeah, it's just found out about this a few minutes ago.
Is it trademarked or... licensing the name?
Yeah, this is an officially licensed Hummer laptop, available November 2005. It looks pretty durable, but...
Who actually makes the computer?
I believe it looks like Hummer... Itronix, actually.
Who?
Itronix.
Itronix?
I know that... Oh, go ahead.
Oh, no, go on.
All right, let's see here. Magnesium alloy case, spill-resistant keyboard, 12-inch display.
That's right.
Miltek specifications, and it's actually sort of designed to be used in the Hummer vehicle.
But you shouldn't be using it when you're driving, I don't think.
I know, but it's something actually nice. It has built-in GPS and Wi-Fi and broadband data connection.
Oh, wow. That's pretty cool.
Edge.
Oh, wow.
Is that anything like the Panasonic Toughbook, or
it's pretty similar to that?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking of when I hear that, because I think Hummer.
Because I'm surprised those have actually stayed around for as long as they did. I mean, how often can you actually use one of those Toughbooks? I figure they can't make too much money off of those.
The Army uses a lot of those.
I know my local police department. That's what they use.
Yeah, I think they're pretty.
Our local police department uses Dells.
But going on along with the Hummer 2 notebook, they're kind of going on with Ferrari. Like Ferrari, they're a lot more expensive than Hummers, but they, a lot of the money now, I think, is from franchising the name. Because when I was in Italy this summer, there's a bunch of Ferrari stores that sell Ferrari books, Ferrari jackets, Ferrari t-shirts, Ferrari hats. And there's also a well-publicized laptop by Acer. It's the Ferrari notebook that I saw at the store. It's a pretty nice laptop, but it's got the Ferrari logo, but it's expensive.
Let's see. Let me see how much I can find. Let me see if I can find the price on this.
Zach, the other person who was one person who was possibly going to host today, couldn't make it, but he's a big Ferrari fan. I think if he wasn't a Mac fan, he'd probably buy that computer.
Yeah, and while he's looking for that, this is the first time we have ever had anyone other than, of course, me and Dale and Jeff hosting the podcast.
Yeah, so I've been trying to get people from that I met out in California.
Yeah, it's pretty difficult to get people together to do a podcast because, everybody's got different schedules. And
exactly.
We have, because you just popped on like a couple hours ago. Hey, you want to do it? We're doing a podcast tonight, and I was available, so... I said, whatever, I'll do it.
Yeah, for most people I talked to, they said, they couldn't do Thursday, so they couldn't do tonight. And I have work tomorrow, and so is someone else, mm-hmm. another person from Illinois, so I tried to do it tonight, and so that's what I thought would be the best.
Right, it's a lot more difficult when we have more people, because you have to coordinate who's talking.
Yeah. So what's the price, Robert?
It's a little confusing.
All right, the cheapest model, that's with nothing, that's with no Wi-Fi, no Edge, no GPS, no nothing, is $3,000.
What?
That's a rip-off.
Yeah, the most expensive one.
PG.
Yeah, let's keep this on a team basis.
The most expensive one is $4,500. That has GPS, touchscreen, and your choice of either Singular Radio, Sprint, or Verizon Internet.
Oh, wow.
So these things, this is expensive, but I guess people who can afford Hummers can afford this.
Yeah.
People that can afford the gas in the Hummers.
Yeah, I was just going to say that.
Well, thank God. Yeah. Thank God. Now these soccer moms can surf the web while they're at the soccer game. So I think that'll work well with them.
Yeah. Oh, and the three colors is the Hummer yellow, pewter, and then a red color, pinkish red color.
Got to catch them all.
I guess so.
All right, moving along. This is a... Seattle Pi News recently did an interview with Bill Gates, and at the developers conference they're having right now, and some of the things he said, he talked about Google and Apple, and one of the quotes he said, and they talked about asking many things, and one of the quotes Gates said was that at any point in our history we've had competition who were better at doing something, and he said Novell was the best at file servers, Lotus was the best at spreadsheets, and WordPerfect was best at word processing. And then Gates goes on saying that right now, all the thing they do, they're in so many areas and they're doing really well. And I said there's some other places. They said Nokia is ahead of phones. They're closing the gap. Sony is in video games, and now they're closing the gap with the 360. And he said with Google, they're the far away leader. He says big honeymoon for them. And then he goes, even though they do Me Too type stuff and think, wow. And he said Apple has done a fantastic job with music. And I said, but we've got all these areas. We've got tablet computing, internet connectivity. Oh, we're taking presentations to the new level. I personally think Keynote's a great program.
Wait a minute. Did he just say internet connectivity?
Yeah.
Like as in their browser or?
Their browser sucks.
Well, maybe Wi-Fi.
I was about to say.
Maybe Wi-Fi. I don't know. And they say, right. And it says, and an office productivity. We're just out in the front and need to keep pushing the frontiers. Give me a break. Pushing the frontiers?
The only reason that that Microsoft Office is proficient is just because it's widely used. I mean, now that like OpenOffice uses the same file formats, it's the
well. Actually,
same
I
thing.
Heard that OpenOffice was changing from the Office format.
I've heard mixed reports.
Well, you can use either. It has its own file format.
Yeah, and what
they're like OpenOffice 10 or something. I can't remember.
And today the thing with Office, just today they
OpenOffice 2, by the way. Corey.
Yeah. Now, yeah, that's good. Now at OpenOffice, Microsoft Office is that they're previewing Office 12. But the only thing that's really showing is the new interface. You know, after 12 versions of Office, what can you do that's new? Like, really? How many features can you put
one
to a word processor?
One thing I know is that you can save to a PDF. You can't do that with Office.
Yeah, well, if you have PDF built in, Apple has Quartz built in, and that does the PostScript, and that does PDF built into the whole operating system. And if you install it like Adobe Pro, it'll do it. But that's not a really big feature.
Well,
I'll just point something out. I don't know.
I was listening to another podcast. I think it might have been Engadget. I don't remember. But they were talking about how it got something into phones, and like somehow they got off on a tangent with Excel, and that there's so many features that people don't even know how to use them, and they were buying programs to do features that were already built into the program.
Yeah, like what more can you do with a word processor than you know, doing your checking your doing your spell checking and just some layout stuff. Other than that, there's not much things. I like
it's the thing you have to keep it simple.
I think who was it? I don't know. I was listening to another podcast, a speech and. It might have been David Poe or someone was saying that they were helping a famous person with setting up their Word document, Word program, and they wanted all these features taken out. And then at the end, she's like it was a famous writer, it might have been like Maya Angelou or someone. And she's like, she goes, and it just needs all this stuff. And he was moving the first time she ever used a computer for word processing. And by the end of the whole time he helped her out, all she had was like, save a new document, open a new document, and like print. That's all that she needed, and it was really funny. But then, but also with this Google interview with Microsoft, it wasn't Google, but he talks about Google. He also says he also gets asked about security, and the interviewer says, are you to blame for security problems with Windows? And Gates says, quote, because Microsoft is the biggest software company and so successful, we should be held responsible for coming up with those things. We've got to push the state of art. We've got to be the one to solve the problems. So they're not doing a really good job at solving those problems.
No, and something else. Speaking of Office 12, hang on, I just had it up. The first version of Word had 100 commands. The 2003 version has more than 1,500 commands and 35 toolbars.
Commands. What? How many? Is it like, commands on the keyboard?
Well, I don't know. It just reads 1,500 commands. But who really needs 35 toolbars?
Yeah. Who has a screen to fit that on?
Well, I use Word, like Microsoft Word, for my zine, because I tried OpenOffice and I actually was sort of lazy. I didn't feel like learning how to do different things because it is a sort of different. Because when I'm doing my zine, I use Word and I'm adding tables, and so it all looks nice. And I've used it, and I don't feel like switching.
Pages works really well for that.
Pages for by Apple, they just came out with the iWork suite in January. I am obsessed with it. I love it. Like, just it makes it look so professional. And like, if I use a template and take it into school, the teachers think, you know, like I'm, you know, like the New York Times, like doing layout and stuff. Like, it's so easy and so well thought out, and really, it's so simple. It's really good. You know, it's WYSIWYG. What you see is what you get. Everything you print.
It's really good for dealing with photos and stuff and pictures that are in a document. Because if you've noticed, in a Word document, it's definitely a pain to try to deal with a picture right in the middle of text.
It works a lot like a PageMaker or a Quark. It has all text wrapping, and it comes out really good. It's a really cheap publishing thing from Apple. And then just use it a word processor also. But the only thing my only complaint is that their spell checker in Mac OS X is atrocious. It's horrible. Like the good thing with Word, Word has a really good word spell checker. Like, if you put don't and forget the apostrophe, it'll say there's no suggestions. What else could it be? Daunt? You know, it's stupid.
Well, I would say that there are some things that Microsoft does right, and there are some things that they are just horrible at. Like, you know, there's good parts about Microsoft, and I'm not, you know, Microsoft sucks, because there are still actually a few things that Microsoft does right. And like you were saying, their dictionary checker thingy for...
It's really good.
Yeah, the dictionary checker is pretty good in Word, but I really... In Tiger now, they have a dictionary really built into the whole operating system, so it'll automatically pop down in anywhere you search in control command D on a word, and a little thing will pop down built into the operating system anywhere in the system, and it'll give you the definition. And that's a really cool thing in Tiger. But all right, so
yeah, I was having a ton of fun with that when you showed it.
Yeah, it was very cool. All right, next story. Anyone have it?
I'll go on. The Pop Station, one of the PSP ripoffs. Basically, it looks exactly like a PSP. It's actually from Engadget about a couple days ago. It's called the Pop Station. It basically looks exactly like a PSP. The box, the way it's set up, but it sucks. Comes with three AA batteries in the back. The screen looks like a Game Boy Pocket, I would say, but color, like a backlight. It really... is just not good. If you look at it, the picture looks like a PSP. That's the buttons have been, like, the buttons aren't even lined up right. They're not in the center of the.
I brought the picture up. Who makes this anyway? Does it say?
No clue. But I mean, look at the box. It looks just like the PSP.
What's the name of the thing? I'll look that up.
You go to Engadget.
Pop Station.
You go to Engadget and search Pop Station. I'm putting a link in the show notes.
Okay.
And it's definitely if it was a really contender, Sony could really sue them for patent infringement
I'm just gonna read this out for if there are any parents listening to this podcast. For Christmas, do not get your kid a Pop Station.
I doubt it.
Because he will be mad.
I don't think it's gonna happen.
Yeah.
It looks like something you'd buy on the streets of New York. I really don't think it's going to be a real contender. All right. The next story I have is a quick one. Google now has to add to their millions of searches, they now have a Google blog search that searches both all blogs via RSS. That searches takes all the RSS from different blogs, and you can search through each article. And it also searches Blogger, and that just launched today.
Yeah, I saw it, and I searched Corey Holt, and it came up, my blog, Corey Holt, my little piece of the internet, or whatever my caption was at the time. And I'm using WordPress, so it works pretty good in WordPress.
Yeah, I searched Fantastine, and it only came up with my Moblog. And a few other blogs that had a link to my site from Apple One article.
I like all these Google searches. Like the scholarly search was also nice. The academic search or something like that.
Yeah.
Google Scholar, Google Academic. I mean, all these Google searches and new Google tools are really, really useful.
They have a Linux one and.
Yeah, they're gaining a lot of space on the web.
Cool. Yeah, Google's a great company. We seem to end up talking about them a lot.
Yes, well, and I've actually got something to talk about Google when we get done with this one.
All right, go on.
Other than the blog search. Their Google homepage thingy, your personalized homepage, if you have a Google account, a.k.a. a Gmail account. Or
oh, yeah, I saw that. That's really cool.
Yeah, I was working around with it, and basically it's like your own little widget page, and it uses RSS feeds from different websites. You can plug them in to see the latest news. It'll show you if you have a Gmail account, your... five email address, emails or whatever, and it's just a really cool function. I set it as my homepage to mess around with it.
Yeah, that's been out for a while.
I come up here and it says Gmail. I have one message in my Gmail. I've got slash dot and Wired feeds coming through, Dig feeds, the weather in my hometown. It's partly cloudy, 88 degrees. You know, you can just pull up stuff, and right on top is the Google search thingy with the web and images and groups and news and all that stuff.
Yeah, the best part about that is that you don't just add it and then it adds it like in Yahoo. It puts it into predefined places. Like you'll have all your stuff on the right and certain things on the left. With this, you can just
You can actually drag and drop.
You can drag it, and like if you put it to one place, the other part moves down. It doesn't have to reload the page. It's all done live. It's really, really amazing. Yeah, another great, amazing Google product.
So anybody that has, you know, like Google.com as their homepage, you know, switch it to this. And
definitely.
Yeah. The one thing I did like about having Google as my homepage is it loads quick. It's not like having a Yahoo loads a little bit slower. Even if you're on a higher connection, it takes a little bit while. But Google usually tends to do good with their web design and programming to where it loads quick and it shows what it needs and not what it doesn't.
Another site that keeps it simple.
Yes.
Well, speaking of that.
You can't go wrong with that.
Speaking of tools that kind of like redefine the web for you, has anyone used Grease Monkey or whatever that is, the thing that lets you redesign any of your sites?
That what?
I've heard of it, but I've not used it.
What does it do?
It lets you, you can change where the toolbars are and stuff on sites, and it saves that, so then when you load the site, you can have whatever you want, wherever you want. Like,
oh, wow.
All the links at the bottom, stuff like that.
Oh, I haven't seen that. I haven't heard of that either. That's very cool.
It's a great script for Grease Monkey that you can turn off all Google ads. There's another one that I love all the time that'll put a mini player next to MP3 and wavelengths. It's a little flash app that you can just hit play and it'll stream the MP3 or wave file right off the site, so you don't even have to download it to do anything. It's right in the browser.
By the way, please don't use the Google ad remover, because I use the Google ads.
Yeah, come on, click on our ads. Yeah. Make us some money.
I'm just saying for one some time. People. That's just one that I can think of off the top of my head.
Actually, no, don't use the Google AdWords, because I had over $100 in my account, and I still have yet to receive a check after 2 months.
Well, Corey,
I've contacted them, and they said that it's in the mail, and I can either have them cancel it, and they'll send me another check when I hit $200.
Did you get the thing in the mail that gives you your confirmation number?
I did not get anything from Google in the mail.
Oh, because the way they do it is you have to go on their site and they'll send, I think you click on something, and they'll send you like a postcard and it has a confirmation number, and you type that in on their site, and then it knows that you're them, and then it'll start sending you money.
Well, it said that it sent, the payment had been made in my little account history. So I don't know what's going on. I emailed them and it almost seemed like they sent me an automated message.
It probably was.
But, so I'm definitely going to try and contact someone else.
All right.
Because I want my check.
Okay.
Well, speaking of that, what do you guys think about all the ad blocking and stuff, and how that is eventually going to have a lot of problems with the web, because that's where most of the money's made, and that's why everything's free? You think that's going to become a big threat or what?
Nah, not really. Yeah.
Well, I think, weren't we talking about in a couple episodes back about how Gmail users were developing what was called ad blindness, where they weren't seeing the ads in Gmail?
Oh, even though I've used Gmail for almost over a year, I don't even notice the ads. And recently,
I download it to my Mozilla Thunderbird, so I don't see the ads anywhere.
Yeah, I use Apple Mail, so I don't see any ads.
Me too. I just finally got around to using Apple Mail. I had so many email messages, it took 15 times of me clicking on send receive for it to get all the emails.
Speaking of email clients, today Yahoo started the beta test program for the new mail interface, and it looks pretty cool. I signed up because I still have a Yahoo account, which I still use as a spam email, you know, to send if I want to apply, you know, they need an email address. That's what I use now. And so I applied, and I guess hopefully someday I'll get an email allowing me to be on the thing. But it looks really cool. It looks like looks kind of like an Outlook online layout, and it looks pretty cool. So maybe Yahoo's doing something right.
Well, I don't ever use Yahoo Mail. I've got one, but I use it just like to get to the launch and the different things that Yahoo now controls. And Yahoo bought out Flickr, didn't they?
Yeah,
and they're gonna try and convert that to where you have to use your Yahoo account to.
Yeah, that's been a big controversy with Yahoo. People weren't too happy about having to switch to Yahoo, but I heard, I think on another podcast that it's going to be free for a long time. They don't see in the future of making it a pay service, so that's good. And also, as we spoke in the last podcast, eBay did finalize their buying of Skype, and I believe it was like $3.4 billion.
Wow.
I'm just going to pull up the real
Yeah, I was reading something where they were saying that they bought it to improve communication between buyers and sellers.
Yeah, it's $2.6 billion. And I was on the PayPal website today, and they also had a link saying welcoming Skype into the family, and that's going to help with payments also, they said. That's on PayPal.com, I think.
Yeah, that would make sense because today when I just got Skype today, and they have PayPal links where you can add credits using PayPal. So that would make sense.
Yeah, it would. And I think it should probably help now with selling, and you can actually, instead of hearing descriptions, if it's like an expensive item, you can talk to the seller and see, you know, get more information on it.
That'll especially be good in the auto scene with cars and things.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. All right. One story that I guess you can say hits home is Apple this month filed for a trademark on the term iPodcast. And they have a long list of things that it would be used for. They said multimedia devices, computers, et cetera, et cetera. They have all these things that going under for it. But, you know, I'm not too happy about this because I had to Apple is doing a really proprietary things with their iTunes Music Store now with the podcasting, because it doesn't support regular RSS feeds. It has special iTunes components that you need to add. And I had today I bought a feeder. I was using the trial version before, but now I had to buy it, and so I can use get it on iTunes to use the RSS. Capabilities with them, and Feeder is a great program, but Apple is really trying to take iTunes to be on only the iTunes Music Store, so they're really trying to make it proprietary, so they own another big thing in audio. So maybe this iPodcast would be in the new iLife suite or be incorporated with GarageBand.
Well, actually, I do have an iTunes for podcasting. I just took an RSS feed from a website. It's their entire RSS feed. And threw it into iTunes, and it works just fine. Every week it downloads the audio file, and it just ignores all the rest of the stuff from the RSS feed.
If you look at the XML thing, you'll notice to get all the features. Mm-hmm. Like I used before, I didn't have all the capabilities. I'm still going through FeedBurner, but before it would automatically transcode it in FeedBurner. But some of the things like the time descriptions, and so when it's actually on your pod, your iPod, like when you click through, it'll show you the show notes and the hosts and stuff. So that's better. But if you look at the XML code, there's a like little bracket that says iTunes and author and all that stuff. But
I'll have to take a look at that.
Yeah, I'll put a link of you. Well, you can, if you use it like something other than Safari, you can actually just look at the code in that. And that's pretty much it for that. But hopefully, for this podcast to be popular, it needs to be on iTunes. Like most of the time, I'd say 85% of all the subscribers or listeners get it through iTunes. because it's such a wide group of people that were, getting to it using iTunes than just having a website.
How many subscribers do we have at the current time?
Now I believe we have 34. The other night we had 41, but that's by through FeedBurner by unique IP addresses, and most of them I think the other night was just 24 were from iTunes. So a huge majority are using iTunes, and a few from Odeo, and then I think I'm getting a few clicks from the Teen Podcasters Network.
You're right. Actually, I'm looking at the RSS feed right now, and it does have iTunes code in it. So I didn't realize that they did this, but yes, they put in the iTunes code, so it works fine.
Yeah, it's a really stupid part. I don't know why Apple was doing it, but obviously so they get a stronger hold on the podcast network.
Well, if that's all we're going to talk about that, then I've got something really funny to share with you guys. Once again, it involves Google, but...
You should call it the Google Cast.
Google's definition of failure. Step one, go to google.com. Step two, type in failure into the search box. And then step three, you push, the search or whatever. And the first link that comes up, biography of President George W. Bush.
Oh.
And it's not this third-party article. It actually goes to www.whitehouse.gov/president/gwbio.html.
That also works with miserable failure.
Oh, yeah. This is a tech talk, but get off politics, but there's a good article in Time Magazine this week. It's about Bush and his current job ratings and stuff. And so... it's a good article. And the new Time magazine that came out this week also talks about the iPod Nano, the development of it, and that it's a good article, so you should really check that out.
Which is an excellent product, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Let's go into that.
What's that excellent project?
The iPod Nano.
The iPod Nano, yeah.
Recently just got his iPod Nano.
Yeah, I bought it today. Probably about 90 or 100 people just had to look at it because they were just so amazed by it. And, hey, I'm amazed by it, too. I was... pretty impressed with it. I mean, a lot of tech sites, they've been complaining about little things, but I don't really mind any of the little problems, like some people say that it's a step backwards or whatever, but
I'd be afraid that I would either A, break it, or two, leave it in my pocket and put it in the washing machine.
Well, the washing machine is feasible, but the breaking actually isn't as bad as you might think.
Because does it actually feel
there's no airspace in there. Since it's so solid, it's very difficult to break. Plus, Ars Technica, I think they had an article about breaking it. And
yeah, they did.
They dropped it from, like, 7 feet.
A moving car, someone did, too.
Yeah. And it was fine. It just got scratched.
The only way they could actually stop it from working was if they threw it up 40 feet in the air and it... landed on solid concrete from 40 feet up in the air.
Yeah, it's pretty durable.
Why would you want to do that?
System.org.
Because it's fun to destroy stuff.
It was only 2 gig anyway, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Still. Okay, but anyway.
Otherwise, I would have cried.
Yeah. System.org, if anybody watches the different productions of Kevin Rose, System did its subsystem episode where Kevin Rose just basically took apart the iPod Nano.
Yeah, well,
took a little putty knife and cracked it open and looked at it.
Yeah, I watched it. And if we when we do the Teen Tech Talk TV this week, I have a iPod Mini that's currently opened. Well, because it doesn't work anymore, but I can just show the insides. The iPod Mini is a lot. The battery is much bigger, and then you have the hard drive. And so now the Nano is just simply breathtaking. I think it's a really must-have product. It's really, really amazing, really cool.
I still say go with the PSP.
No, I'd say Nano.
Yeah.
I am definitely not a big music person, so the PSP works for me. I really don't need an iPod or a Creative or whatever.
You get Breakout.
Speaking of bad iPods,
Solitaire, a music quiz, Breakout, and... And Parachute.
You've got a stopwatch
Green
on there.
Day
you've got
and Midnight Club 3. Beat that.
Well, think about it this way. if you're doing something else, you can't exactly be sitting there playing a game. I mean, I can be listening to a podcast while doing homework or whatever.
Well, you can.
I listen to podcasts when I'm doing my homework off my PSP while I'm waiting.
All right.
Well, it's just you can't really do it simultaneously. I mean,
that's
that big of a music person either, but I really got it for a lot of the podcasts and stuff
like
that.
I definitely say that the iPod is for the big music lover, but if you're just looking for something, or if you're a big enough gamer like me, PSP. But I mean,
I love my iPod. I'm really into music, and I really love the iPod. You know,
I'm not into music as much.
Yeah,
but I do use it a lot for podcasts, downloading different podcasts in the morning.
And also, speaking of podcasts, on our podcast, with now on, if you get it through iTunes, it's going to be the enhanced AAC version that you'll be getting. The last episode was that, and this episode will be an enhanced AAC. And you probably already noticed this because this is probably near the end of the podcast, so I don't know why I'm saying it now. But from now on, they'll be all enhanced AAC. So you can pause it, play another song, play another podcast, and go back, and it'll be bookmarked, and then you can start from where you left off.
Well, also, that'll be nice.
That'll be awesome.
Yeah, you can already test it out now. So,
yeah, while we're talking about iTunes, last week I was saying, you know, what iTunes was like, asking what iTunes was like, and you know.
Oh yes, all the posts in your blog. Go on.
Yes, I tried it out, and I sort of like it, but maybe I'm just not. I don't know how to do it right or anything. Is there any way to sort it by like author or anything other than adding playlists? Because I want it to be like every time I add a new song or something that's done by this artist, it automatically goes into this folder, or you can sort it by album or whatever. Other than just a big
playlist.
Long
yeah,
list.
Yeah, use smart playlists.
Smart playlists.
Yeah, so
explain that.
All right, this is what you're gonna do. Do you have it open?
I can get it open.
Oh no, I'll just give a walkthrough right now. You're gonna go to in iTunes. You're gonna go to File. New smart playlist.
Okay.
And that's going to bring up a little box. And then there's going to say match the following rule. That's one of the first things. You should check that. And there's a whole bunch of drop down. You can get all different songs that use a different beat per minute. And they have new podcasts, play counts, the different years. And so I'll say that the first one is the artist. And then you can want to say it contains, does not contain, is not, starts with, ends with. So if I want to do contains Stones, it'll get me all the things that with the Rolling Stones. And you can say you only want 25 songs in this folder or random, and you can sort it by artist, album, and it has a whole bunch of features. And yes, we can do it in smart playlists.
Okay, well, that's what I was thinking. I'm sure there was obviously a way to do it. I just had not figured it out yet. So thanks for that real quick tip.
Something else I like, smart playlist. I just have a smart playlist with anything I haven't listened to in over half a year. Just so that way, if there's anything that I haven't listened to in a really long time, I should go back and listen to it and see if it's still worth keeping around in the hard drive.
That's a smart idea.
Definitely,
the new thing I like in the new iTunes 5, is the ability to have folders of different playlists. Because I have a whole bunch of playlists, but you know, after a while, there's like, you know, it gets a pain scrolling down, but now I can just, you know, close with the disclosure triangle, different, you know, playlists. I think it's really cool. Like, I have one for albums, one for podcasts, one for, like, mixes, and so I really like it.
Yeah, because I really didn't like going through the whole list, and I'd be jamming, and all of a sudden, you know, insert name of podcast here would start playing. And I'm like, wait a minute, and then I gotta go skip through it, because I was just playing it from the big, long list. And also like the way that it fades out and into the different songs between the songs.
That's iTunes is a really powerful program. I love it.
Yeah.
And something else, just a reminder, if you guys have probably been doing this, but anybody's listening, make sure you pick up the free tracks every week, because you may find something you really like.
Yeah, I found a really good one a little while ago that I listen to all the time.
The what now?
In the music store, they have free tracks a week.
Every week.
Like, I found there was one...
Every Tuesday, the new tracks.
Yeah, every Tuesday. And it's really good. I really like the iTunes music store. I still buy music. I just bought a CD last week. American Hi-Fi, I bought it. They had a free good one. And I got that a little while ago. But, you know, iTunes is just a great, great product.
Well, it's nice.
Yeah, you know, my mom uses iTunes. She downloads music off of there.
Then why didn't you use it if your mom's used it?
Because, I don't know, I just really didn't feel like... I didn't know how good it was.
So your mom's ahead of you in tech?
No, I'm just saying she uses iTunes. And
pathetic.
She was going through all the different, like, Napster and the Real Media Music thingy, and she
maybe
actually found
have,
iTunes. And...
Maybe we should have your mom on here instead.
Okay. Is Corey, any new lawnmowers that are out now?
Shut up. All
right. The remote control is working on a new frequency. We gotta... All right, never mind. Sorry. Stop with the Corey.
If you don't stop, I'm actually going to find a remote control story and start talking about it.
All right.
I'm
please
sure
don't.
I can find one. Let's see. Yeah.
All right. Any other news stories?
Let me think. Let's see. I'm going down the list. BitTorrent on Linux. Anybody heard of that? I think.
BitTorrent's been on Linux since
for
the beginning.
A long time.
Like it's always been on it, and that's not a new story.
Stupid Dig. See, I really don't like Dig as much as I used to, because you find old stories. Like, everybody's like, you know, Dig's the coolest thing. It's really not.
I think it's good in some... It's good, some good things and some bad things. Like, I've seen a lot of repeats, like, of old news.
There needs to be more monitoring of... they can't just go around with the automated system. Like, when you try and submit a story, it'll check to see if the link's from the same place, and it'll check different, like, similar stories. But I think there needs to be, like, a dedicated person on the website trying to finding it. Because a lot of people... They'll dig stories, they'll dig the good ones, but they'll ignore the report button at the bottom of the thing. Like, if you see duplicates, they won't report it.
Yeah, but I think it's still pretty good. Like, it's gotten my site a lot of publicity sometimes, which we already were past the 100,000 hits since January mark, so happy about that.
Wow.
Yeah. I think we're at 100,000 to 2,000.
Wow, that's pretty good. What's the blogging software that you use? I can't remember.
Expression Engine.
Expression Engine, yes.
Yeah, but it's not free. We just bought a new version. It costs $150. So it's
yes, I know
not
it's
free. But it's much...
Definitely
like,
not.
I've used WordPress before, and just WordPress, it's good. That's open source, but you know, it just wasn't cutting it for
me.
Yeah,
I use WordPress for
like,
mine.
Expression Engine is just really... It's really great product, and I really love it. And it's worth... To some extent, the $150.
If anybody cares for my opinion of a good CMS that's free and open source, I'm going to go ahead and plug this. PHP Fusion. Anybody heard of that?
Yeah, I've heard of it.
Pretty
cool. I actually set that up last night, and I absolutely love it.
Oh, yeah, it is an awesome system. Shouts to the people that created that.
Yeah, I've known a lot of people who use that site.
Yeah, I used to use it on a few of my sites, and definitely, if I have an idea for a new site, you know, I'll just go out there and try it and see if it looks cool. And I'll definitely start with PHP Fusion.
Definitely.
Because it's just a great all-around CMS.
One other news thing that has been mentioned yet is that TiVo, their new update, now has DRM added in.
I saw that.
And certain publishers can choose to... have certain shows not be able to be recorded or saved after a certain date.
Yeah, going along with that, last night I was trying to copy something off my TiVo onto my camcorder. I have a DirecTV TiVo, so they don't get all the updates from TiVo. DirecTV moderates which ones go, so I don't get TiVo to go, I don't get the TiVo desktop, I don't get any of those cool features. But I still love it. It, you know, it's cheap, and so. But I was trying to get a show off the off my TiVo. I was trying to get it onto my camcorder. It's not TiVo's fault, but another DVD camcorder I've used before has playthrough mode where you can take regular RGA video, composite video, and put it onto the DV. But with this HDV HC1 camcorder, it can only take an iLink or a FireWire input for video. And those are from like professional, equipment, and TiVo doesn't have that, so I was a little mad about that.
But well,
yeah,
hey,
I say Myth TV.
Yeah, I'm actually considering putting a Myth TV box together.
Yeah,
but
Here's
a screenshot of the TiVo thing. This is for King of the Hill, the restrictions. Quote, due to the policy set by the copyright holder, this recording can only be kept up to 7 days after it starts recording, and it cannot be transferred to VCR, DVD, or any other media device.
That's horrible. Like, there's shows I keep on my TiVo for a long time. Like, I'll keep it there, and, you know, like, I've had some shows that have been on my TiVo for over a year and a half that, you know, that maybe, you know, someone I saw was on TV and I wanted to keep it or something like that. And if, you know, that's really stupid.
It's really pitiful. That's what it is.
It's probably not.
I think if you're paying for the channel and you're paying Fox or whatever to view King of the Hill, you should be able to view it over and over and over and over if you want to.
Well, you're not paying over broadcast there, over, you know, network. You don't pay for cable, you do. But
oh, well, that's true. That's free.
But
whatever.
TiVo does not want to do that, you know, because they probably know they're shooting themselves in the foot by, you know, the consumers aren't going to like that. But they have the FCC, and but it's not really the FCC. It's the, you know, like Hollywood and them and broadcasters. You know, that's why they want the broadcast flags and all the new products, because they're afraid of people, you know, using, you know, doing content on their own time. They want, you know, their broadcast schedules. Well, I think it's really stupid for the consumer, you know, because when the consumer starts, you know, getting, you know, restrictions, that's going to turn more people against them and using Myth TV and stuff like that. And I think, you know, they're just shooting themselves in the foot, you know, like they thought VCR was not going to last. They said, you know, it's going to strangle the movie industry, and now they get 60% of their, or 60% of large profit from DVDs and VHS sales. So, you know, they really don't know much about the consumer. They just care about getting money in their pockets.
I'm wondering how long this is going to last, though, because, you know, it's the same thing with downloading stuff. You know, they shut down one site, another one comes up. It's never going to end. How long are they going to keep trying and trying?
It seems like when they shut one down, two or three more start up.
Yeah, it's growing, and the RIAA, FCC, whatever acronym you want to put in, they're never going to shut this down.
Yeah, when you treat your customers like criminals, they're going to start acting more like criminals. You know, suing a 80-year-old woman for downloading music for $3,000 to $4,000 is not really going to change everything. It's stupid.
And one other thing, I don't know if you mentioned this or not, but the RIAA and the MPAA have joined Internet Two.
That's not good.
Which, I mean, I thought Internet Two was supposed to be for research, and how MPAA and or RIAA have anything to do with research, I'm not sure.
The only reason, you know, because there's been a lot of reports that you know, college students have been getting on and you're using
the show. Oh, I know, it's
because it's such a fast network, you know. And, you know, you're supposed to be only invited to be on, and that's really sad that they're invited or got on somehow.
Yep.
Any other topics you want to talk about?
I've got one. This is my last one. There are pictures of the Xbox 360 user interface.
Oh, I saw that,
I want to talk about the Xbox 360 anyway. I was looking at a price, $700 for a console.
Wow.
Is that through Electronic Boutique?
Yeah, I think.
Yeah, because I saw, but that's just their pre-order one. You get like three games and all this stuff.
Yeah, but still, who would pay? Then what's the base price for the system? Then?
I think it's like $299 and $399.
I thought it was $399 for the basic system, the other basic.
Yeah, I think it was $299 for without a hard drive and then $399 with a hard drive.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure that the modding scene will make quick work of what Microsoft has and allow you to add your own hard drive and all that stuff. Because I have my Xbox and I have Xbox.
Still,
Media
at
Center.
That price tag, would you really want to mess that up?
Well, no.
You started the wrong point. You're out $400.
Well, I think it's good. You got to hack around, and make something better. Because, you know, the core processor is really cool. I'd really like to see what you could do with it. But going along with that, someone was interviewed, one of the developers at Microsoft, one of the lead developers for Xbox, and he said that he was gloating. He said, "Oh, this is our system, how it's built, is so intricate and so complicated that hackers are never going to be able to crack it."
They said that with the first Xbox, and within 24 hours, the dude came out with the first mod chip. I mean, you can't do that. I mean, people are going to figure it out.
Yeah.
Well, within
it's the same
hours.
Way with CD copyrights and DVDs and stuff. They find out the whatever they're using to secure.
Yeah, DVD John in Norway.
Yeah, and then they crack it and then they come up with another one.
Within hours of the Xbox being released, the entire BIOS was up on the internet for people to take a look at with and start probing. And I know that there have already been Xbox dev kits leaked to mod chip manufacturers. So.
And it's fun. It's a rat race, and it's hilarious.
Well, it is. Microsoft doesn't understand.
The Xbox 360 is not going to be hacked.
Microsoft
next day. Xbox 360 user hacks his Xbox.
It's the same exact thing with the PSP. How they're having the new firmware that updates just so then people can't go and hack and do things they should be
which
able to
do.
Which
sucks because I just upgraded my firmware to 2.0 and
I just give it like a week. There's gonna be a way around it.
Yep, I'm waiting.
The nice thing about the one thing about the PSP is though is that when you upgraded the firmware, you actually got new good features, which for most people they would see it's a good reason to upgrade. If you just do an upgrade,
yes, I did see a good reason to upgrade. I did like it. The fact that you can now wirelessly send pictures, you have a background, you can obviously do the internet without having Wipeout or whatever browser now, and it's just really cool. There's a few new features, but I don't really think it's worth the loss of all my homebrew applications now come up as a corrupted file. But what they're doing is they're just adding a signature, a Sony signature, and all it takes is someone to figure out what that signature is and then post it on the internet and have homebrew application programmers post it into their software.
There's just so many people out there, people ready to hack their stuff, and like there's like at Microsoft and Sony, they probably have 12 developers working on the one thing, or even if they have 12, it's a really small group they keep. And then you have thousands of hackers going at one code. They can do it. They can, you know, when there's a will, there's a way.
And like you were saying earlier, Jeff, they're shooting themselves in the foot because I know people that bought the PSP after they saw all these different hacks and stuff. It's making them money anyway. I don't see why they're going to stop it.
That's one cool thing that, Robert, do you remember in California, Helen Greiner from iRobot, she said that they intentionally put the one port in the Roomba so people can hack it.
Yep, I remember that. And there have been fan sites set up just to making it do all sorts of cool stuff.
Yeah, that's really cool. And people are going to want the product because it's that. You know, the killer app might not be your app. And just the other applications that you can do with it, it's just, you know, really cool.
I could see a thing if these people were selling their homebrew applications, but they're just posting them out there, man. Let them do whatever they want. It's like,
yeah,
you know.
Well, they're always, you know, protecting their wallet. They don't want to lose a profit, so.
How are they losing a profit with that, though?
Hey, I don't know. That's what they think.
It's like, yeah. hey, we're making money. Let's stop what we're doing to make money.
Yeah,
and
well,
it's like,
yeah.
But, hey, I guess there's nothing you can really do about it.
Well, speaking of the Xbox, if anybody out there has their Xbox modded, a new version of Xbox Media Center has been released 2 days ago. So if you have that upgrade.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to mod. I'm going to start modding my Xbox. I've got a friend that put a mod chip in there. So I'm just going to set it on my desk, turn it into an FTP server, and then beam music and stuff over it.
Yeah, well, I've had it for almost 2 years now, but Xbox Media Center was definitely the killer app for me. I used to use Xbox Media Player before that. They're still going on, but Xbox Media Center just simply amazing. I would download torrents and watch the TV shows on my TV. I love it.
Oh, I agree. I absolutely love it.
I haven't used it in a while though. I think there's other things you can do, but we're not going to go into those things.
Yeah. So this is one of the cool things that you can do. It's totally legal, and this is one of those things that proves that the entire modding community is not out just to do illegal stuff. This is a legitimate use that people absolutely love.
Yeah, it's getting the most out of the hardware.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
exactly.
If something's worth $300, you pay $300, and then you make it worth $400 because you're adding all this stuff and just improving it. And it's a great way to get experience and to learn and, you know, learn by doing, you know.
Exactly.
It's definitely a great revolution, if you want to call it that, of, I don't know if you could go that far,
well,
but,
as you can see, like, now, if you have to be noticing it, because we're a part of it, you know, there's definitely, like, a kind of a revolution or a renaissance going on with people now controlling the media. Like, we're an example of it. We're doing our own podcast, you know. 10 years ago, you never thought that you'd be doing your own, you know, radio show on the internet, you know. Not using the mainstream things. And now, you know, IPTV is coming up. You know, now people are going to use – a lot of people are using BitTorrents. Wired had a good issue last month. They talked about internet TV and how many people downloaded off internet TV, and was it Battlestar Galactica? Their first episode was released on BitTorrent, and so I think it's now coming down to the consumer who gets to make the choices for what they want and when they want it and where they want it. And I think it's really amazing, and I'm really excited about what's coming out in the next few years, and I'm just really thrilled to be a part of it.
What's that song? Isn't it like "Video Killed the Radio Star" or something like that?
By the Bubble.
Podcasting killed the radio.
Yeah, by the
whatever that song
is. It's by the Buggles. It was the first for your trivia. It was the first music video played on MTV.
Really?
Yeah. So how ironic.
Yeah.
And
the first video played on VH1 was Michael Jackson, The Thriller.
All right. I don't know why you know that. That
I
fact.
Know that. I don't know.
All right. That's a really odd fact.
That explains a little about Corey for you.
All right, Corey, do you have your Thriller album in your room?
No.
Picture Michael Jackson?
I think he's got a few posters.
I have posters.
Maybe a life-size cardboard model.
Oh, yes.
One last thing about the Xbox 360. The basic one will be $299, and the fully loaded will be $399.
That's what I thought. Well, I don't know which one.
What are EB Games doing with their $800 system? Let me go back there.
Well, they're just doing, no other sites, Amazon, all the other big manufacturers aren't selling it yet. I think they're just doing it, they're throwing in a bunch of games and a whole bunch of other stuff to
like
it.
Like the entire
Let's
world.
Let's actually read that off before we
lifetime.
Close this out.
There you go. That's when you're in the end.
Okay.
We're almost at an hour, or we're past an hour now.
Utility bundle, $699.92. Let's read off what this goes with. Alrighty. Xbox 360 premium system, $399, okay. Which comes with game console, wireless controller, combination high definition component, and standard AV cables, 20 gig hard drive, Ethernet cable, headset, bonus media remote, Xbox Live Silver, Xbox Live Gold 30-day trial. And then it also comes with Perfect, Dark Zero, Limited Edition, Dead or Alive 4, Cameo, Elements of Power, Project Gotham Racing 3, extra wireless controller, play and charge kit for extra controller, and extra rechargeable battery pack.
All right, that I don't think that's worth $600, but or $699. But
so basically,
I will say that the Xbox 360 looks cool.
Yeah,
I would be proud to have that in my living room by my TV.
I don't know. Which
I don't know. I think that thing just looks ugly.
I don't know which one I want. I don't know which one I'm going to get. Either
the PS3.
PS3 or PS...
The controller looks like a boomerang for the PS3.
It does. That's the first time I've ever heard say that. It does look like a boomerang.
I mean, come on.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, as much as I dislike Microsoft, I think the community behind the
Xbox
is a lot
stronger. I think they
should have
made the Xbox 360 more silver than white. I don't think they can play off the white. It doesn't look...
I don't know. That almost looks like a failed design from Apple.
Yeah, the one I think it was Wired. They said that, or it was Time. I think it was Time when they asked people, when before it was announced, they said, who would make this box? Who do you think made it? They either said Sony or Apple, and so it was Microsoft. But going on, the one thing that's quickly the one thing I want to say about that I was thinking today that's making me not think about getting the Xbox 360. The main thing you can tell that Microsoft is doing, they're trying to get the media, in your living room, but they're also doing subscription. They're getting money through downloading, like they have an arcade thing now in the media center and in the Xbox. Now downloading different patches and using your friends list.
I think that's
There's a lot of. I think they're going to be like you pay $2.99 here, $2.99 here, $2.99 here, but it's going to add up for Microsoft, and people are still going to use it. Because there's no other way around it.
Well, I think that's definitely the way of the future, to where you can sit down at your Xbox 360, you get bored of your game, you go to the website through your Xbox 360 and download a new game.
But I don't like that because...
You pay for it, but I mean...
I don't like that because that can tell people, companies to make, crappier games and then say, oh, well, in a few months we'll have a new update you can pay for. I think, when you don't have to download it, you're going to get better quality because, then they have to make it good. That's one thing I don't like about updates, because then there's room for it, a lot of error. And, look at Battlestar. I
agree with that. They should make it better the first time instead of...
Yeah, look at Battlefield 2. I don't have the game, but I heard a lot of people complaining that, that Electronic Arts, you know, puts, there's so many bugs and for the first few versions, and, you know, they wanted to ship it by a certain time, so they made a really buggy product. And then people had so many errors and they were losing accounts, and it was really a mess. And so that's why I think, you know, companies should make good products before they sell it and ship it. So,
it shouldn't be on a timeline. They should make the game or any product. They should make it right the first time.
Definitely.
And if for some reason there is an error, then, you know, come up with an update that you don't have to pay for.
Exactly.
I agree.
Once you've paid for the software, you should be free to, you know, updates. Which is one reason why I don't like Microsoft, because they've recently stopped carrying patches for, of course, their older operating systems, requiring you to pay for security, basically. Paying to get the upgraded version of their operating system.
And you also have to pay for support through them. But with the big company, it's expected. But Apple has a mission support.
And also, Internet Explorer 7 will not be released for any operating system other than Windows Vista. Or Vista, or whatever you want to pronounce the messed up operating system.
Vista.
Longhorn. I'm going to keep calling it Longhorn. Just because I'm so used to calling it that. Longhorn. I don't know. I guess I sort of see it as
they were
like
talking
a
about
horn.
That when they released, like, 98 or whatever. They've been talking about that for years.
Yeah.
I don't know. I almost see Windows Longhorn as a Longhorn, just like big and bulky and slow.
Yeah, I know. Just got to put out the pasture and let it
die. It's basically Windows XP with the latest patches and some bells and whistles.
There's nothing. I don't want to drag this podcast any longer, but there's nothing new that hasn't been in OS X that's in Vista. That's all I can say.
Yep.
Windows Vista is Windows XP with bling.
Yeah, and I have the countdown counter going on my dashboard. If I can get up, I think it's we're at 474 days to Longhorn, but I haven't updated till they actually set a release date, but I haven't done that. But it's a long way away. That's more than a year away. So people were saying like, oh, look at Longhorn, but it's a long way away. So I think
by that time I'll have converted to Linux and Mac only.
That's good. Bravo.
I'm definitely getting a Mac.
Round of applause, everyone.
Whether it's an iBook or a Mac Mini for my first Mac, I'm definitely getting one.
Bravo. All right. I think with that, Corey's big revelation is a big eureka moment. I think we should wrap this podcast up. I want to thank Robert for coming on the show. I think, Robert, you should come on a lot more often.
Yeah, like, you're probably right.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, come on regularly if you can. And hope
definitely.
Other people, if anyone who's listening wants to be on the show, we'd love to have you. But we can only have
an email address.
We can only have 5 people on the show on Skype, but we might do some other things to squeeze another person in and do other things. And also, Corey set up teamtechtalk@gmail.com. You can do that.
Your questions, feedback, comments, or even recorded segments. I'm going to talk about that in the next episode.
Yeah, if you want to send recording segments, like we had the one today, the intro.
A cool
Mike's
tip
intro.
Or a site or a news story or something.
Anything. And you know, you can also just put it in the comments for everyone to see. And with that, good luck and good night.